This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hello and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I'm Rachel Zimmerman. I'm so excited to be back after a week of replays. I was actually out of town, out of the country, actually, which we'll talk about a little later in the show. But I'm very excited for my first guest this show. It's my very, very good friend and mentor, Dave Glover. I thought it would be a great opportunity to have him on the show because we are kicking off our Operation Food Search campaign this week at Hardee's to raise money for people who are hungry in the St. Louis area. I'm going to let Dave explain it, but sit back, relax, and listen to my interview with Dave Glover. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Rach.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, this is weird.
I am strangely so nervous right now. I don't know why.
Yeah, we spend all day every day together. Now it's like forced.
Now it's like I got to show them what I've got with the Rachel Zimmerman show, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Watch how many push-ups I can do.
Right, exactly. But the reason why I thought you'd be a great guest this week is because this week on the Dave Glover Show, we have kicked off our Operation Food Search campaign for 2023. And if you've listened to the show at all during the holiday season, do you guys know that we raise money for Operation Food Search, which is an incredible organization. Actually, I'm going to let you take a minute and tell everyone what this means to you every year.
Yeah, so Operation Food Search, I guess I had heard the name before we started working with them, right? I could figure out based on the words. But then when we met Judy, who we all love, and just how great she is, and she's kind of the face of the organization. And so what they do is they feed people all year long in the St. Louis area who are food insecure, which, as I've been saying, is a fancy word for hungry. They just don't have enough food to put on the table for themselves or their kids. And that's amazing and wonderful. And they do it, 365 days a year. It's a little more important around the holidays for obvious reasons. The thing that they do that as you know, we both have such a heart for is the backpack program, where when I was a kid in South Roxana, there were, a dozen kids who got free lunches, although they had to work in the cafeteria. And there are a lot of programs like that now. But when the kids go home on the weekends, they don't have food. And so with the backpack program, every Friday afternoon, they fill a backpack for these kids with enough food for them and all of their siblings, whether they have a brother or sister or six at home. And it costs about $250 to sponsor one child for an entire year, which is an amazing bargain. Every dollar that Operation Food Search brings in, they can multiply that by 10 because they're so good at this. And they have such great partners like Schnucks and different restaurants and such that donate food. So That's Operation Food Surge. And so about 6 years ago, this is our sixth year, we partnered with them. And through Hardee's, you go to Hardee's and you get their delicious food. I recommend the cinnamon raisin biscuit, which is back after a few years of being gone. And you'll be asked, as I was this morning. I went to visit my mom and I went to Hardee's to get her one of those. And it's kind of cool when it's like, hey, would you like a Dave Clover Show sticker? And you know me. I wanted to, to go like, sure, I'm the guy on the sticker.
That's me.
But I didn't. I held off waiting for them to say it. But, you know.
The resemblance is uncanny.
It really is.
You look just like the sticker cartoon.
Don't take this the wrong way. So you give a dollar or more, whatever you, like I said, here, give me 10 of them. And they just, you know, put it onto your bill, or you can round up, which we're all familiar with by going to grocery stores and such. But that's it. That's the campaign. And I'm very proud to say that in the 5 years we've been doing this, the DGS audience has raised over $500,000, which translates to $5 million when you add the multiplication factor.
Yeah. And we've had the opportunity to go out to different Hardee's in the community and meet with people. And it's always struck me like, just the amount of people who have approached you and said, hey, I was a backpack kid.
Yeah.
Or I've benefited from Operation Food Surge. It's really emotional.
Remember the one time, it all runs together with COVID, but remember we were doing our live show. Every year we do one big live show, and it's kind of like the Jerry Lewis telethon when I was a kid, and here come the big hitters, and here's a check for $1,000, here's a check for $2,000. It will be December 15th this year out at the Mid Rivers location. But remember one of the years, the guy checking us out at Hardee's was a backpack kid.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. And speaking of Hardee's, their food really does rock.
I really does.
Really loved Hardee's as a kid. My dad would take me there all the time. And then whenever my brother was taking driver's ed, like, of course, we went to Christian school, so they didn't have driver's ed there. So we would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to take David to driver's ed at Alton High. And my mom and I would go through Hardee's every morning and I would get hash rounds and a Minute Maid orange juice. Oh, it was
I had hash
so
rounds
good.
This morning.
They're so good.
Why didn't they have driver's ed?
Because there were like 10 kids in the whole school.
I thought it was something biblical.
No, it wasn't like you're not allowed to drive. It was just like, we don't have the resources for this sort of thing.
I was going to crush it.
So you've done a lot for Operation Food Surge. You said over $500,000 raised, which we've done. Of course, you can't do that without the help of the DGS audience. They are so... Tell me about how giving the Dave Glover Show audience is.
So I just celebrated my 23rd year in the air. And I have always, you know this, you've been with me about half the time, I guess, that I would be nowhere near where I am professionally, personally, the things that we've been able to do in the show for Folds of Honor and for kids charities and for Operation Food Surge without this audience. And they followed me from 97. I mean, first of all, I had no audience. And then we built this cult following, started in 2000. And then we went number one for like 8-10 years in a row. And so it's a big audience, but it is the best. It is truly the best audience. They are outside the box thinkers. They are open minded. They are giving. They are generous. And so I just can't say enough good things about our audience. As you know, like when we do the DGS lives or when my band used to play and you meet them, they're just cool, normal people.
OK, you mentioned 23 years on the air. What does that feel like?
It feels bizarre. I'll be 60 next year, which I know all of those words, but it doesn't compute. You know, it just doesn't. It really, really, truly doesn't in any way, shape or form. That core of your life, you know, from like when you're 25 to, you know, 50, some whatever, it just flew by. And gosh, maybe 5 years ago, I read an article about me in an industry publication, and it started out PM Drive veteran, comma, Dave Glover. And I was like, what? Veteran? And then I realized, like, yeah, I guess so. I mean, as you know, radio careers don't last long. 23 years is almost unheard of. I have to be in the top five, I would guess, for longevity, and probably in the top two for actual talk shows, like non-music radio. It just doesn't seem real. Yeah. It just doesn't, you know? I mean, people, when are you going to retire? And I guess I'm at that age where I should be thinking about it, but I'm not in that mindset. If you told me, like, oh, we made a mistake, you're not going to be 60, you're going to be 40, I'd be like, whoo, that makes more sense. Let's do this another 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
It's just really, really weird.
Yesterday we were talking off the air about, you know, your mental health and doing the show. Can you kind of flesh that out for me and the listeners?
Yeah. In what way?
Well, you were saying this isn't necessarily the best job for keeping up with your mental hygiene.
Yeah. So my whole family on both sides, going all the way back, and it's not every person, but there's a lot of mental illness. And I'm sure that everyone out there listening, if you're honest with yourself, you go, yeah, me too. Right. I mean, I don't know that a family goes untouched, but I recognized it in my family and in myself pretty early and started doing therapy 10 years ago ish, something like that. And I don't know what my diagnosis would be, but you probably do.
I have a couple of theories.
Yeah, I figured you would. I'm very anxious. I'm very hypervigilant. I'm an overthinker. I tend to, see ghosts everywhere. There's something hiding behind every tree. And so being engaged to the level that I am in the world, it's kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I might be better off being very much disconnected to the world because I get anxious and scared of silly things. So when you have real things to be anxious and scared about, like politics and nuclear war and idiots running the country, I tend to take them home. A lot of people, it's like a surgeon. You know, you think about it. If a normal person went into an operating room and they're like, okay, here's a scalpel. You're going to open this person up and you're going to take something out. You're going to put something in. You're going to sew them back up. We couldn't do it. It's just, that's too troubling. But a surgeon is professional enough and dispassionate enough that they can go in and they're like, okay, I'm going to cut this guy open. It's going to bleed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to suction. I'm going to do that. Then, okay, on to the next case. A really good talk show host is like that, sort of like when I was a divorce attorney. I wasn't a good divorce attorney for many reasons, but one of them was I couldn't be professionally dispassionate. I would take it home. Mm-hmm. I would think about the people. I would worry about the people. And it's the same way with the show. I take it all seriously. I have to know everything like you. You know, you get up in the morning, you look at every single website and all the newspapers and all the news sites and you make notes and you have your take. And it's just a lot, you know, it's just a lot, especially for someone with my special brand of struggles. It's been incredibly rewarding. I would never take it back. I hope to do it another 10 years, but it's also tough.
But you're not going home and like playing back the tape and like, what did I say or anything like that. It's more like you're just carrying the weight of all of this information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about this last night because, as you know, they replay our show a bunch and I just don't go back and listen to shows. And I would probably be better at my job if I did and, critique myself and, oh, you should have this, you should have that. But it sounds like an excuse and a cop out. In a way it is, in a way it's not. That's not the kind of performer I am. I'm not a precision performer. I'm a seat of the pants, hopefully quick wit, make connections in my strange brain that other people don't see, that entertain people or make them laugh or, wow, how did he come up with that? I'm not a precision guy. And so if I go back and listen to the day before, it just doesn't do me any good. So it's not so much performance anxiety. It's more just if I did a sports show, who cares, right? I mean, like, oh, the Eagles suck this year, or the Cardinals this, or the Broncos that. But when you deal in real life the way we do, knowing everything is tough.
When we come back, part two of my interview with Dave Glover on The Rachel Zimmerman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
When was the last time you remember just like being able to completely unplug and not see the world through the Dave Glover Show lens?
I pretty much have to be out of town. As you know, I love to go to Florida and to Colorado. A really good friend of mine, Scott, has places there, and he's kind enough that he lets us use it as if it's ours, which is why I hope to move west someday. Because I love it out there. But when I'm in the mountains and I'm hiking and I have my family with me and I'm just chilling, I can feel what it must feel like to be a normal person, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I remember watching Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage. And I didn't understand anything about alcoholism. But I remember in that show him saying, I don't drink to feel good. I drink to not feel terrible. I was like, oh. That makes sense. People who are addicted to things use the drug of their choice not to feel high or feel great. It's because without it, they feel like death. And so this is way too dramatic. I feel like I'm being overly dramatic.
You're not.
But the way my mind works, the way my sympathetic nervous system is aligned, when I'm feeling really good, in the mountains with my family, hiking or riding motorcycles with Scott, I feel like that's probably the baseline how most people feel normally,
okay,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want this to be like a poor me kind of thing. Feel sorry for Dave. No one should feel sorry for Dave. Dave has it very good. But for other people who struggle with things like this, I hopefully by falling on my sword and just saying, here's how it is in my skull, people will go, oh, man, Me too. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, you're definitely not dramatic. I think that the fact that you're so open is what draws a lot of listeners to you. And they just feel seen when you say stuff like that, because most people are like trying to put up a little bit of a front.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but is imposter syndrome a thing for you?
Oh, my God. So I took the LSAT just as a lark. And ended up doing really, really well, even though I had a terrible GPA. And I got a scholarship offer to Wash U. I think they thought I was like a Goodwill Hunting, you know, from this little refinery town and bad grades in college, but aced the LSAT, so they gave me a scholarship. And on day one, sitting in the very first class, feeling completely out of place with all of these geniuses from Yale and Harvard and Stanford. And before the professor walked in, an administrator walked in and said, "Hey, I'm sorry, just a housekeeping announcement for you." And I literally picked up my books, literally, because I just knew that she was going to say, "David Glover, could you follow me?" And they're going to say, "We've made a terrible mistake." So every second of my life is some form of imposter syndrome. And people who have what I have, whatever label you want to put on it, there's a little voice in my head I've had as long as I can remember, this inner critic who's very loud and very pushy and gets really active when something good happens. And so if I get an award, or if I'm number one, or if I sign a new big contract, or I do national television, or I do a television show, or play in the band, if you're like, wow, that guy starts talking and starts chattering, and he's very difficult to defeat. And so I've been incredibly blessed in my career, but for every award, every project that goes well, every joke, every whatever, that guy's there to kind of kick me in the balls. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you feel like you sometimes hold back because you don't want to listen to that guy?
No, because I'm equally driven to please. In a normal way, as a performer, this is what I always wanted to do, is perform in some way and be funny and what have you, which my parents didn't think was a real job, which maybe it isn't, but I got lucky. But I'm just driven to do that. You know, I do it without thinking. I just, it's my language. That's how I view the world. And I feel like that's what I have to offer the world. And so it's competing, you know, it's a push-pull, the constant, you know, like tectonic plates that I want to perform and I want to do well and I want people to like me, but I know I'm going to have to pay the price because that guy is going to tell me what a fraud I am.
I'm wondering if this ties in any way. I had written down, I wanted to talk to you about the fact that, yes, you are very blessed, but I also don't think people realize how hard you work because you downplay it so much. Do you think that's a symptom of the guy in your head talking to you?
Yeah.
Like, you can't let people know.
Well, I mean, I missed like two questions on the LSAT. I graduated with honors from Wash U. If it were someone else, I'd go, wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. But when I tell the story, how do I tell it?
I did it on a whim.
I did it on a whim. Caught a flyer. That's, I do it, I'm sure, performatively, to be charming. Like, oh gosh, he's so cool, he doesn't even acknowledge his accomplishments. But it's deeper and darker than that, in that I'm trying to keep that guy asleep, if that makes sense. Yeah. And if I just say it out loud before he does, like, oh, I just got really super lucky, maybe he won't rouse and start poking.
Yeah, that's something I hear a lot of comedians talk about, is like, I make fun of myself to kind of get ahead of the problem.
Yeah. Everyone with my thing knows, like, how I threw my keys down the elevator shaft and how I've done so many things in my life. You just want to fly the plane into the mountain before you crash.
Yeah.
Let's just get it over with. And I've done that so many times, so stupidly. But it's just, it's like being right-handed or left-handed. It's like being 6'2" or 5'6", you know, you kind of are who you are, and you have to at some point come to terms with it and do the best you can.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
Take me through your process preparing for a live show. How many hours of work do you think you put into your stand-up act, your music, doing the whole rundown for a DGS live performance?
So, given what I just said, not trying to be self-deprecating, not as much as you would think. Again, it goes back to the, hopefully, being a natural performer. And I do feel like the more I try, the more I drill in, the less nectar I'm going to get. I'm not a precision guy. I'm not a preparation guy. I am an event guy. I'm a performance guy. And so I do about an hour stand up, and it's mostly stories, you know, from my childhood, and, you know, with a through line. And I know the stories I want to tell, and I know the stories very well because I live them and I've told them so many times. And then what I'll do is I'll have pieces of paper, about 12 of them. And then I'll just literally set them on the floor and walk around and look at them and say, oh, you know what? This would go really well into this, but I need a transitional joke. Got it. I'm going to say this. And kind of like Dave Murray talks about with his fall forecast or his, you know, seasonal forecast, then I'll leave it alone and I'll go back and I'm like, no, that's stupid. You should do this. And then eventually you get to a point where you go, okay, well, this is as good as I'm going to get it. Now I just have to do it live, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, like, the music thing. So I got my first guitar. My brother gave me a 72 Blonde Tele, which is a great guitar. When I was in fourth grade, I beat the crap out of it. And he, it's like, you know, knocking it up against stuff, my dresser, pretending I could, was the Beatles. And he took it back. And I took 5 or 6 lessons in seventh grade. It was too difficult. It didn't come naturally. I'm inherently pretty lazy. And I just stopped. And so I play guitar at the same level I did in fourth grade. Drums, on the other hand, came really naturally to me. And I played 8 hours a day. And I did it enough, sort of like I was obsessed with working out and bodybuilding in my 20s. And I did it enough that even at 59, there's something still there.
Yeah.
It doesn't take as much for me to get in shape. And it's kind of the same thing. That musically, with drums and stuff, it's in there somewhere, and I'm too lazy to want to get better. And so I just depend on luck and BS, I guess, when I go on stage.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, I have a really privileged seat to the Dave Glover Show. Sometimes we have these breaking news days where the world explodes and the whole show gets thrown out and you're just focused on the story happening that day. And it's like watching, I don't know, it's like your eyes change color and you're like, nyeh, like you just go into a different mode. What's going through your head when that happens? Or is anything going through your head? Does it just happen?
It just happens, but I did it on 97.1. I mean, my first big show was 9/11.
Yeah.
And you know the story, but I was doing a 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. show. I was still an attorney, but I had already given up on that. So I would come in earlier, and 9/11, I was in court, and then I came in about 10 a.m. They put me on the air, and then they put me on the air on all of our stations, Casey and The Point and all that, like simulcasting. And I did from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and that's where most people back in my early career found me. And it was just this indescribable responsibility. Like, I am the person helping St. Louis, and that sounds grandiose, but at the time that's how it felt, through this completely unique thing that we're all going through together. And so every time, whether it's, you know, Bobby Plager passing away or whatever, the school shooting, I am like, okay, we're putting all the BS aside. It's go time. It's game time. It's not just you have a responsibility with a lowercase r to entertain these people. You now have a responsibility with an uppercase, all letters, because something, the you know what has hit the fan. You happen to be the voice they're listening to. You have to deliver for them, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my last question.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Dave. What's something that you wish more people knew about you? I mean, you're so open and you get to do your show every day, but is there anything that you're like, man, I feel like that doesn't come across?
I don't know. Let me put it back on you. What do you think if you could wish that?
I think you're a much more thoughtful person than the public-facing persona. because you are such like a look at me, I'm Dave, and you're telling your goofy stories. But I just think you feel things so deeply and you take things so seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
while also being the most lighthearted, like you're like the funniest person I've ever met. You, there are things that you said 6 years ago that I think of and I laugh because it's just like, oh my gosh, that was so on the money. That was so funny. But I think there's like this undercurrent of depth that I, that maybe people don't understand as much.
Yeah. I mean, you know me really well. And you see it. It's not like I'm the sad clown or a tortured artist or something, but I'm kind of the WB frog. I mean, I'm always the quietest person at a table. I don't fight for oxygen. I don't try to take over conversations. Yeah. I'm very quiet in every possible way. A bit more of a loner than I ever thought I really was. My brother and sister, Debbie and Keith, are and were, and I mean this sincerely, much smarter than me, way funnier, more talented musically. I just happen to be the performer out of the group.
Yeah.
You know, I just happen to be the one who you put me on stage and I get a little bigger. And so, yeah, this isn't to say I'm smart, but I'm a deep thinker. I love philosophy. I love astrophysics, although I don't understand anything once you put numbers to it. But I love the concepts. I love thinking about consciousness and reality. And that's kind of what I do on my off time. If I'm not, you know, with the family or doing something, I am just sitting around making notes and reading and watching shows about this stuff. And so, yeah, it really is kind of a weird dichotomy, I guess.
I hope you'll come back again, Dave.
I would love to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rach.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I want to take a second here and tell you guys how much I appreciate you listening, whether you listen while it's playing over the air or if you go back and podcast later. It means the world to me that you listen, so I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. I mentioned earlier in the show that I was out last week because I was abroad, and I was actually in Japan. I had never taken a trip like this before. And I've kind of been mulling over, like, how do I want to talk about this? Because it was such an amazing experience. And the fact of the matter is there's no way I can convey how great it was through words. But I can take you guys on a little, like, itinerary through what I was doing and kind of try to explain why I had such a good time. So we flew out on it was a Tuesday morning. And it was actually Halloween, so that was a little weird, totally missing Halloween because I was on flights the entire day. But we flew out on Halloween, and we flew on ANA, which is a Japanese airline, and it was so great. It was a 14-hour flight, and I had really been dreading it. I thought it was going to be awful, and it turned out that it was actually a pretty pleasant experience. Look, I don't want to do it like for recreation, but as far as from getting me from St. Louis to Japan, from Houston to Japan, it was a really, really great experience. The food on the flight was amazing. You guys, if you know me at all, you know I'm pretty driven by food. And they gave us two meals, which really helped break up the flight. You also had a little bit more than average leg room, I think, on a flight, on an international flight like that. I did have sleep issues. Pretty much everyone else around me was sleeping pretty well through a good chunk of the flight. I was not able to sleep at all. There were a couple times where I dozed off, but then I would kind of like, you know, your head drops and you had to snap back. So I think for the next time I have a long flight like that, I'm going to get one of those travel pillows or something so my head doesn't drop and I can actually get some sleep. But overall, it was a really fun flight. And then we got into Haneda Airport in Tokyo, and whenever the flight like got above Tokyo and you could see this gigantic city, I was wearing a mask at the time, but my jaw dropped. I just couldn't believe how vast it was. And that's really all I'll say about Tokyo, is just the vastness, how many people are there. It's mind-blowing, especially being from Grafton. I mean, Grafton has a population of 600 people. I am the definition of a small-town girl. So to go from being born there, being raised there, living in the city of St. Louis, which is, you know, it's a pretty decent-sized city, but to go from here to Tokyo, it was just, absolutely incredible. Rode the train a lot whenever I was in Tokyo, which was a really interesting experience. You have to be very aware of the people around you. You don't want to take up any of their space. You have to kind of give up some of your personal space. There's a lot of give and take when it comes to riding the train in that busy of an area. Best shopping I've ever experienced in my life in Tokyo. And then about 4 days into the trip, we took the Shinkansen to Kyoto. And the Shinkansen is a high-speed bullet train. And you guys, this was my favorite part of the whole trip. It was so amazing. I wish we had these in the United States. Imagine if you could go, you know, what was normally a six-hour journey in 2 hours. Or you could be in Chicago in an hour and a half on a train. It was so cool. And before you get on the train, you go to the train station and you get, it's called an ekiben, and it's a special bento box that is like for your Shinkansen ride. And you get to go pick out your meal and you pick out a drink and you have it on the train. And it just feels so old school and so fun. So that was my favorite part of the entire trip. Then we went to Kyoto, probably the most beautiful place I've ever been in my entire life. It's a lot more rural. The nature was just unbelievable. There were a lot of tourists in Kyoto, though. I noticed that. In Tokyo, it's a little bit less noticeable just because there's so many people. And we were just like riding the train and shopping and stuff. But Kyoto is definitely a tourist destination, but it was a beautiful time. Then we went back to Tokyo for a couple of days. So that's kind of my itinerary. That's what we did. Again, I can't actually sum up the amazing experience I had. I just know that I want to go back. I want to travel more in general. It sounds so cliche, but when you travel, you're open to other people's experience. And the thing that kept running through my head, like the whole time I was in this amazing city of Tokyo, I was like, all of these people have lives just like me. There's 44 million people, I think. And all of them are just living their life just like I'm living my life back home. It just made me feel small, but in a good way. It made me feel like I was pulling towards a common good. So that was really cool. If you guys have any life-changing trips that you've been on, I'd love to hear about it. You can always tweet at me at RachelZSTL or Instagram, same thing, at RachelZSTL. I'd love to hear from you. When we come back, I'm going to run down a couple of stories that maybe you haven't heard this week. Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Let's talk about a couple of stories that maybe you haven't heard this week. So the holiday season is coming up. Thanksgiving is less than a week away. That seems absolutely crazy to me. It just really snuck up on me. But since it's the holiday season, people are doing a lot more shopping. If you are an Amazon Prime member, I'm sure you are getting your money's worth ordering gifts and such from Amazon Prime. But Amazon says that Prime scams are on the rise. Crooks are trying to gain access to your Prime account with scam emails, calls, and text messages. The online retailer says it has seen a surge in criminal activity as shoppers use Amazon to make their holiday purchases, like I said. Reports of email attachment schemes have doubled in the second half of 2023. So the scams involve criminals posing as Amazon customer service representatives, sending shoppers attachments suggesting that their accounts will be suspended if they don't take action. If you end up clicking on the link in the attachment, it goes straight to the criminal's website where they start collecting all kinds of information. So be very, very careful when it comes to stuff like that. My rule of thumb is, has Amazon ever done anything like this before? If they haven't, then I'm going to probably ignore it and assume that it's a hacker or a phisher or something like that, because I don't know. It just seems like they would get a hold of you straight through your account rather than through an email. And anytime anyone's sending you an attachment like that and you don't know exactly where it's coming from, it's just a good idea to not click on it. But sometimes it can look pretty convincing, so I get why people get swept up. The second type of scam targets members of Amazon's Prime Shopping Club has quadrupled over the same period, with scammers calling, texting, and emailing Prime members about a bogus membership fee or an account issue. Again, Amazon is probably going to get a hold of you straight through your app, straight through your account if there's something weird going on. But generally, there's nothing weird going on. Generally, things are swimming along just fine. If there's going to be a membership fee or something, you're going to see something like that in the news. So if you get a call or a text or an email about this, just sit on it and wait for more information before you make your move to protect yourself. I thought this was pretty cool. Venmo is making splitting the bill easier. So we use Venmo a lot on the Dave Glover Show. I use it with my friends sometimes. It's really nice if you're all like going out to dinner or something and one person pays, you can kind of pay your half of the bill with that. But Venmo is now rolling out a new feature that makes it even easier to split the bill. It's going to help users track, split, and manage ongoing expenses between people for things like dinners, holidays, and household costs. And it's all happening through the app. The feature will automatically calculate individual amounts based on the number of people in the group. Okay, one more story here. According to a new survey by Bankrate, Gen Z has the worst tipping habits out there. Okay, so Gen Z was born between 1997 and 2012, and it looks like 35% of Gen Zers say they always tip at a sit-down restaurant, but 83% of baby boomers do the same. Personally, that should be 100% across every generation. If you don't want to tip, then you shouldn't go out to eat. That's how I feel. And I think I'm right on that one. If you disagree, let me know on Twitter or Instagram. We can have a nice little argument about the situation. But come on, you know what the game is whenever you go out to eat. You know you're supposed to leave a tip. These people are working for tips. 35%. That's not good. Only 24% of Gen Z always tip their hairdresser, stylist, or barber. For comparison, 70% of baby boomers always tip for these services. And this one drives me crazy. Food delivery. Only 31% of Gen Z always tip their delivery drivers. That's half the rate among baby boomers. Look, if you are too lazy to go out and get your food, you need to tip the person who is nice enough to go and get it for you. My friend Andrew is a DoorDash driver. His wife Megan and he do it all the time. It breaks my heart that they don't get tips half the time. That's not fair, you know? Again, you were the one who was lazy and wanted to stay home. Go ahead and reward the person who is doing the legwork for you. This is insane to me. Ugh. Anyway. All right, guys. Those are just a couple of stories that maybe you didn't hear this week. I sure appreciate you listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show. We will talk to you again next week. I hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks, and now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You know Graybar for electrical parts, but there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. the sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.